Good morning, Turks and Caicos. Welcome to another segment of Career Connection powered by Flow. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, and today I'm joined with Mr. Drexel Seymour from Financially Speaking. Today we'll be discussing salary negotiation, know your worth, then add tax. This episode is designed to help you figure out if you are holding your organization accountable by going after what you deserve and adding a little tax. We'll explain adding tax as we dive further into the discussion, but before we do this, we will pause to hear a word from our esteemed sponsor, Flow.
Flow helps you stay connected to what matters. Simple plans and a better network mean that you can enjoy 30 days of unlimited social messaging, 10 gigabytes of reliable data to use as you like, and 1,000 local anywhere calls and texts. With the always-on prepaid plan, all for $80, with Turks and Caicos' most reliable LTE network. With Flow, it only gets better.
Welcome back to today's program. If you're just joining me, I'm your host, Melanie Smith, career coach and talent consultant, and you're listening to Career Connection, where we deliver powerful yet practical tips to empower, encourage, and enlighten students, graduates, and career professionals to find clarity, confidence, and connection for the world of work. We do this through interviewing career, life, and business experts and give advice on how to explore career options to help you grow and prosper and close opportunity gaps with employment by connecting talent with opportunity one hire at a time. In the studio with me this morning is talk show himself, Mr. Jaxwell Seymour, of Financially Speaking, and we'll be discussing salary negotiation, know your worth, then add tax. So happy to have you joining me this morning, Mr. Seymour.
It's a pleasure. I'm delighted to, you know, have this conversation with you today.
Wonderful, wonderful. And many of you are no stranger to Mr. Seymour, but for the sake of our new listeners, Drexel Seymour is a native of South Caicos, Turks and Caicos Islands. He often shares his story of how difficult things was for him growing up, but God made a way for him. He graduated with a Bachelor of Arts degree in accounting at age 19, and an MBA in finance at age 20. At age 22, he took and passed all four parts of the Certified Public Accountant exam. He is the director of HLB, Helping Local Business. He is currently part of a credit union committee and hopes to have credit unions established someday in the Turks and Caicos Islands. He subscribes to the scripture found in Proverbs 18 and 21, that in life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Although I have shared a small portion of who you are, Mr. Seymour, and this morning you've switched sides of the table.
I have.
So,
I have.
For our listening audience, tell us, who is Drexel Seymour?
Well, you know, you did a brief description, as you mentioned.
Yes.
I think I'm a down to it person. Mm-hmm. I've been in the workforce since 91. I think I was 21.
Okay.
So it's been 30 years now since I've been working.
Okay.
Of course, I'm a father of five children. Married to young.
Look young.
And I'm just out there trying to influence people,
right.
Trying to encourage people, and trying to inspire people. Mm-hmm. And so I do a lot of writing, and I do a lot of YouTubing, really to educate the public, to bring awareness.
Okay. And I must take this opportunity now to tell you that you're doing a fantastic job. You know that I always refer to you as my honorable friend, because I hold you very dear, and you know, I hold a lot of respect for you, and so I want to take this time to congratulate you on everything that you're doing within the community. Thank you.
You're one of my number one supporters, so you always encourage me.
So
thank you very much.
Awesome. Yes. All right. Now, this is a very, very important topic for all of us, and so we're going to dive right into the topic for today, salary negotiation, know your worth, then add tax. Mr. Seymour, very early in this month, we saw America celebrating an annual event called Equal Pay Day. Right? And that really got my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Turks and Caicos, we are still at the minimum wage versus even discussing equal pay. right? And so, and we know that having equal pay will make all of us stronger, as we like to refer to no one being left behind. Mm-hmm. So how can we get things like this to change as we focus on living up to our values?
In terms of the equal pay?
Well,
in the United States, they have legislation for equal pay. And I think that's the first thing we need to do. We need to lobby the politicians to pass that legislation, because there is unequal pay in the Turks and Caicos Islands, depending on who you are, depending on where you're from, depending on the color of your skin. You get paid differently.
Right.
And so we need to push for equal pay legislation.
Right.
No matter who holds that job, if that position is for $50,000, that person should get paid $50,000. It shouldn't matter, who the person is. If that's what you say your position is for, and then the person meets the qualifications, then they should get paid for that position.
Right.
And so there's no legislation in place for equal pay. And so that's the first thing we need to do, is make sure there's legislation in place, and the politicians do that.
And how do we lobby that? How do we even get to that point now at this stage, jumping off the point that you raised?
I think we need to meet with politicians. I think we need to write about it, and we need to talk about it, even if it means some of us drafting a paper, because I think it has to go to cabinet first.
Right.
Even if a group of us come together, draft a paper, give it to one of the politicians to present to cabinet. But it's something that I think politicians talk about it, but it hasn't been implemented. So if they're not doing it, then let's do it and present it to them so they can take it to cabinet.
Right, because I know, a lot of our employers talk about not having equal treatment in the workplace, right? And that's a whole
employers?
Employees.
Okay.
Right, and that's a whole different topic from even... the different pay scale, because we're not even lobbying the different pay scale that's happening in the organization. Wow. Okay, employers won't let the other person normally sitting next to you to know what you're making, and some are disciplined if it's discussed openly. And while I can understand that sharing information in some instances is important, is there a way to normalize pay transparency here in Turks and Caicos?
Yes, there is a way. Mm-hmm. I know the government, for example, they have a range.
Okay.
So the range for the categories.
Right, right.
And
that's
some
only in government. That's only in government.
I know government has it.
Okay.
Some companies, I know where Cape and Wallace was, where I used to work for 14 years, there was a range as well. So you don't know exact salary the person's making, but the range, because you'll say maybe, let's say, 30,000 to 40,000, so you know that is the range.
Right.
So I think there should be a range.
Okay.
Even when you're advertising a job, I'm quite sure, I may be wrong, I thought that you're required to
put the salary.
To put the salary there.
Right. But that is normally for a job advertisement versus what's actually happening.
I got you. So they might put something there that necessarily means that's what it is. Just to meet the criteria.
Right.
And so I think there should be a transparency. I don't think we should hide things from employees. Mm-hmm. I think employers should say what the salary is. Now, obviously, you need to meet, the qualifications for that job. You have people coming who with no experience, and they cannot expect to get that same salary with someone with experience. So that's part of the problem.
Okay.
So, but I think you should have that. I think you should be transparent in saying what the position pays, and don't have two sets of, don't have one for advertising purposes, and don't have one for the true figure.
Right. Because I know that we have had a number of persons who have experienced this, right? Where, especially when it comes to local versus expats, that we put those figures in just to advertise,
and when
and when the role is actually being filled by someone, the contract or offer letter have a different figure. So what recommendation would you make for that, in order to have some adjustments to pay transparency?
Well, I'm quite sure with the Labor Department, at least for work commits, I think you have to show the contract.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And honestly, I believe that if a job is advertised and you get a contract and it's different from what is being advertised, then that's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we should make an issue about it. We should bring it to the attention.
Yes.
Make it plain.
Right.
And I also feel that some jobs, they might put a price, they might put a figure in there to deter you from applying, because they might say, well, it's only $6.25 an hour, and they know they're paying more than $6.25.
Right.
But they don't want certain people to apply for the job. So mm-hmm. say they don't want locals mm-hmm. to apply for the job. So they put the minimum wage.
Right.
So I believe that there is a place that you could go and vouch these concerns with the Labor Department.
Mm-hmm.
I know it might hurt people if they do this, but you can't just accept, you know, you can't accept that.
Right.
If you feel that you're treated unequally, one thing is being advertised, you get paid something differently, then I think you should vouch that concern with the Labor Department. I think that's what they're there for.
Yeah, yeah. And normally those things go under the rug, because the minute you would have filled that position or the job being advertised, the person is hired, and, you know, it just goes away into the file, and no one is really championing those things that are happening. But I just wanted to touch on
that.
Yeah,
even some companies should have a, what do you call it, this grievances committee or something.
Yes.
Some companies may have that mm-hmm. That you could, you know, file your complaint with. I know sometimes it's hard, because sometimes they don't go against management.
Yeah.
But I think you at least make your position known. And I believe if you do that, I believe employers would think twice from making that same mistake before, even if they're not successful.
Right.
You just can't be quiet.
You can't be. And having salary audits, I believe, is very important, because it would also help with your recruiting and retaining processes, you know, with hiring fleet across the organization.
That's a good idea, too.
I'm really glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Okay, do you believe we have a gender gap in Turks and Caicos? Wage gap. A gender wage gap.
No. You mean whether women or
mm-hmm.
men?
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe so.
You don't?
No. In fact, I don't believe we have a gender issue in Turks and Caicos.
Okay.
I honestly think we have a local versus expat gap issue.
Gap. Okay.
But I don't think we have a gender issue.
Not
I don't think people
issue.
Look at mm-hmm. someone as a woman or a man and say, oh, she's a woman or he's a man. We can pay. I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, I've never experienced it.
Yeah, well, I asked that question because, you know, being a coach and hearing persons with their stories and how they are treated on the job, and perhaps I was in this position for a while and then this one came and end up getting the position, a different title change, as well as more pay. You know, so you do have people who might have had the experience, but, you know, maybe 3 out of 4.
I don't think it's gender.
But
honestly,
it's not gender.
I think it so happens maybe it may appear to be gender.
Mm-hmm.
I think the issue is, I think it's really about
expats
versus locals.
Versus locals. And
I really don't think it's a gender issue.
And I could agree with you on that, because I think you've even, if not written an article on that before, perhaps.
I did.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
with the gender gap.
Yeah.
Okay, and talk about those articles that you've written previously on employment and pay rates, right? And as a local recruiter, we've had brief discussions on opportunity gaps in Turks and Caicos, right? And it is said that the economy is booming, which would mean that we as a people are also striving. Do you see this to be the case?
No. The economy is booming.
Mm-hmm.
The economy is booming, but we are not booming with the
economy. With the economy.
I mean, some of us are, but a lot of us are not.
All right. And how can we change that?
You know, I believe some of us need to stop being employees
mm-hmm.
and be the employer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are comfortable in our 9-to-5 jobs. And I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
But even those who don't want to be an employer and those who are an employee, I think you should demand you should know your worth.
You should know your worth.
And you should demand and get paid your worth
right.
if you don't want to become an employer.
Right.
And you should have cases where you could show, well, this person is this and this person is that.
Right.
And I also think sometimes we settle for less.
Mm-hmm.
We accept.
We do.
You know, some of us are desperate for a job mm-hmm. and we just accept it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any confidence in ourselves. And so we don't even try to maximize the potential.
Right. Because, and I like that you said that, you know, that we're desperate for jobs, because when persons are now applying, you would hear them saying, I'll do anything, right? And so The security part of it, I think, is where we find a lot of persons not becoming entrepreneurs and all of that, because they are holding on to that salary.
They're comfortable. You know? They're confident. And, yeah, they're comfortable in that environment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult for a lot of people to give up the paycheck to move into their purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also think people need to increase their learning.
Mm-hmm.
And their skills, because sometimes you're just there in that same position, and I think if you could learn as much as possible,
mm-hmm.
and do other things on the job, I think you become notable,
right.
and your employer, your boss will even put you in a different position. Mm. I think we need to increase our knowledge.
Okay, but what about persons who are already doing that
and right?
not moving ahead?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Then maybe it's time for them to
Bumps, we call it.
to review
mm-hmm.
their position mm-hmm. where they are. Maybe it's mm-hmm. time for them to move out. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because if they've been there first of all, they should have a conversation with the relevant authorities, mm-hmm. whether it's the HR person or your immediate supervisor.
Right.
And I think you should be able to express freely how you feel without feeling victimized.
Right.
And if that conversation, based on that conversation, you feel that you're not getting anywhere, then maybe it's time for you to review, and maybe it's a red flag or a signal that maybe it's time to go somewhere else.
Right. And a lot of employees don't have confidence in their employers as well when it comes to a conversation. And so normally, even before that conversation happened, you'd find a lot of employees looking for another job even before attempting to have a conversation with the employer. Right, and that's why I wanted us to talk about Know Your Worth, then add tax, to help them build some confidence when it comes to relating, you know, how they feel in the workplace.
Yeah, but they should have a conversation, because the thing is, you might leave a job and go to the next job, and you might have the same issues.
Yeah, nothing changed.
And you end up doing the same thing, same people. Different people, but the same sort of
right, and especially
issue.
If you're not speaking for yourself.
Yeah,
right?
So
and if they don't know how you feel, then they can't help you.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. This is, I think, my last area on the gap side of it. While I'm cognizant that the workplace wasn't equitable even prior to the pandemic, right? Should we be optimistic about the future regarding wage gap or barriers in upward mobility?
I think you should always be optimistic.
Mm.
I think if we are not optimistic, you know, everything happens
mm-hmm.
based on what you think and what you, if you have hope. If you go in the workforce thinking pessimistic,
mm-hmm.
then
mm-hmm.
you get pessimistic results.
Yeah,
so I think we all should have some sort of optimistic belief. We should all go there with hope. And I don't believe that we should just sit around and wait for things to happen.
Right, right.
I think we
right.
should be proactive in making
right,
things happen.
Right.
And I think more people are speaking out.
Yeah.
So I think the future's bright.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll see changes with the wages. I think you'll see that. I think you'll see it narrowing down. I believe more of us will speak out, and I think we'll have legislation. To deal with that issue.
And with everything focused on COVID now, right? Because COVID is being used for everything now when it comes to new opportunities or promotions or even raises, right? Because we've seen a lot of persons who were sent home, you know, because I guess, you know, things slow down at work. And so how do we speak to that when COVID is being used now for so many things with opportunities and promotions and, you know, because persons are sent home?
You know, That's a tough one
mm-hmm.
because there are some companies that genuinely have been impacted by COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, my company genuinely was impacted.
Right, right.
And so, you know, two of my staff, you know, had to depart. And there are some that are using COVID as an excuse.
Right.
They really don't have to send people
right.
home.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies are doing really, really well, but it's an excuse. And because we don't have, it's very difficult to control that
mm-hmm.
or monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it should be more or less the conscience of people. I don't know how we're going to control that.
Yeah.
The only way you could control that, if you're aware that someone sent you home and then you're replaced by someone, like somebody, they made you redundant and then they turn around and replace you, then you have a case.
Right.
You know, but and it's difficult to control that
It's difficult to control, but I know, you know, and I like that you mentioned the part where positions are being made redundant, you know, saying that they don't need this anymore. Within the next 3 months, the title is changed, and they're replacing that position with, you know, a new hire, someone that they wanted to put in the position. So it's actually happening.
It is. I believe it is happening. I believe. People use COVID. There was some benefits to COVID.
Right, right.
I'm not going to tell you a lie. There was some benefits to COVID. It was an opportunity for some employers to get rid of the employees because, you know, the labor law here is very, despite what people think, I think we have some great laws.
Right. Right.
And you cannot easily get rid of an employee. You really cannot. You have to you have to go with these three warnings and then you have to also have a development plan. And so COVID came easy for some employers. It was a great opportunity for them.
Okay.
But at the same time, we should not abuse it.
Yeah.
You know, we should give, I believe we should give people a chance.
Yeah.
Even if people mess up once or twice, give them a chance. And some employees have not been doing that.
And I'm glad that you point that out, and I hope they're listening so that, you know, changes can be made to those systems, because there are a lot of new opportunities here that locals can fill those positions that are available. All right?
So I agree there. I think, you know, I believe that there are enough positions in this country for locals to occupy. Right. I mean, I think when they did the national skills audit, they said it was like 23,000 jobs, right? And then they said only about 7,000 or 8,000 locals were in the workforce.
Yeah.
Because we don't have many locals.
Mm.
So there should be no unemployed locals.
Locals. Yeah.
It really shouldn't be.
Because
there are more jobs than locals. The locals.
Yeah. And you're right about
But we
that.
Do have unemployed locals.
Locals, yeah. And we do have some of them, and I agree with you on that, and we do have some of them now who are looking for a career versus a job. And so with that, it makes it a little difficult because, you know, persons are now making a decision on where they would like to work.
Yeah.
You know, so with that, they will be out of a job a little longer, you know, when it comes to, you know, having the skill set that perhaps that position is looking for to be filled.
Yeah, I believe you should be in the right position. I don't think you should take any job. I understand sometimes you really need a job because you don't have any money,
right.
You know, income coming in. But I believe you should take the right job, the job that you really want.
Right.
And just take a job just to say.
You
know, but I understand. I really understand that some people do that because they don't have any income.
They don't have any income.
And so they're taking the job until they find, and that's also understandable.
That's understandable.
Yeah, but don't be in it too long.
Right.
You know, keep trying, you know, until you get the right job.
I like that. Don't be in it too long. Okay, I get this question a lot from career professionals. Should I be negotiating? Right? If I agree on a salary number and given more work, should I still ask for more money? What would be your recommendation to that?
I think you should negotiate, especially if you're given more work. Now, if you come in and you agreed up front for the salary, that's fine. But if you're given additional responsibilities and tasks, then that's additional workload on you.
It's additional
and
workload.
I think you should negotiate for that salary.
Right, right.
Salary.
I like that you say that because we like to ask a lot, should I? But we need to stop asking, should I, and start asking how to. Right? Because we don't have the confidence and we believe that perhaps we don't have the experience and all that other stuff that comes with it, right? And so it takes away all those self-doubt, you know, if we would then just try to find out how to versus should I.
Yeah. I think some people are afraid to ask because they feel that the thing is all of us could be replaced on our jobs. I mean, no one is replaced. Everybody's replaceable. And I think some people are afraid, well, if I go and talk about negotiating a salary, they'll find a way to get rid of me, and I won't be in that position. But that's the risk you take.
Yeah.
I think you should just risk it and negotiate.
And negotiate.
You know? Okay. You have nothing.
Nothing to lose.
I mean, if you are that Greek,
yeah,
you will find something else to do.
Yeah.
You should not be getting underpaid.
Underpaid. But some people just don't have it. Don't have that confidence within themselves.
They don't. But then what they should do is get some advice from someone.
Yeah.
Someone like you in HR.
I get a lot of that.
So I think people need to know their value to the company.
Right.
Sometimes they make you feel like you don't bring any value.
And I like that you said that, because I had a session last week about values. And I think what a lot of persons don't understand is that when they're even looking for a job, if you know what the organization values are along with yours, you'd be able to decide or make a decision if this is the right place for me to work. But a lot of persons have not taken that time to do a self-assessment to find out what their values are. Mm-hmm. And so even going through that session and, you know, trying to get to the bottom of them finding their own answers more so, because it's within them already, on, you know, what's important to you?
Yeah.
And that's the simple question, right? And the word value is used, but some person just doesn't understand that all I want to know is what's important to you.
Yeah.
You know, and you'll be able to find your place.
Yeah. Well, companies also have to play their role too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was with KPMG, we had quite a number of sessions with our employees.
Right.
And I think we need to engage them in a number of conversations.
Right.
And
that's important.
And, you know, not just tell them the values. Mm-hmm. We have to live by the values.
Live by it as well.
Hear their side, and maybe we could implement some of the things that
they
recommend.
Right.
The thing is, we need to recognize that every role in a company is important.
It's important.
From the cashier to the CEO,
it's important.
The cashier make a mistake, that can mess up the whole system.
Mm-hmm.
So every role, and the cashier is responsible for bringing the cash in. So every role is important. Sometimes we make people feel that they are insignificant or inferior because of the position that they hold.
That they hold.
But everybody's role is important.
It's important.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. You are listening to Career Connection, powered by Flow, with Melanie Smith and my guest, Mr. Jaxwell Seymour. We'll be right back after this break and a word from our sponsor.
Your safety and convenience are most important to us at Flow. That's why we provide many ways for you to keep your account connected, which now includes FastPay, the new convenient payment option on our website. No registration required. Or download the MyFlow app to pay anytime from anywhere on your smartphone or tablet. If you wish to pay your bill in person, feel free to visit any of our fully sanitized branches. Flow is committed to helping you stay connected. Let's do this together.
Welcome back to Career Connection. I'm your host, Melanie Smith, along with my guest, Mr. Jaxwell Seymour, and we're discussing salary negotiation, know your worth, then add tax. If you're good at what you do, you'll get more and more work. And if companies don't have an issue asking what they need from you, why are you scared to ask back? It's a fair value exchange, would you say, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so most people aren't confident in their negotiating skills, especially when it comes to asking for more money. Why do you think this is the case?
Why people are not confident?
Yeah, in asking for more money, even after doing all the work.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why people are not confident.
Mm-hmm.
I think people...
You're showing
people
up on
just
time.
Afraid.
You're just doing, you know, you're everything. If the building goes on fire and you're not there, you know,
I don't know. I think we somehow we have created a culture of fear.
Yeah.
People are just afraid to ask for more. And I think what we should do, maybe do our own research on the side, find out what other people are making in different organizations. I think when you come to the table, you know, bring some evidence too and say, listen, this is what this company is paying for the same role I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how we should start.
That's how we should do it.
But people are afraid.
You know, and you've mentioned earlier as well that if I negotiate, it will turn the company off, you know, but even within...
It will turn some companies
off.
Yeah,
but aren't company expecting people to negotiate? Some companies
are, but if you don't If you don't say anything, some of them won't do anything.
They won't do anything.
You know,
but negotiating should show that you are serious about your growth.
Yes.
Right? You're holding the company accountable. And, you know, you're also being respected as well in that light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so while you may be thinking that it will turn the organization off from you being asking, but you're showing up because they may not even be recognizing the work that you're putting in.
Yeah. I mean, it's for some, it may turn off, but for some employees might appreciate too.
Right.
That an employee came and approached them as well.
Right.
You know, depending on the personality, of the employer.
Okay.
Because some may appreciate that.
Right. And you know, this week I had a young client who had an offer on the table, and they were a ball of fire where they showed up, you know, going through the job description like a fine-tooth comb and asking all the questions possible to go back to the employer with to find out, you know, she was checking her worth. She wanted to know, you know, what she can get for that particular position. And so it is happening in COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through that for about 2-3 days of checking all the questions to be sure that when she did negotiate her offer. She was negotiating her offer. And, you know, she was successful in what she asked for.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, she was successful in what she asked for. But, you know, it was intriguing for me to see that persons understand that they can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I'd like to see more and more of that happening where if you go to the organization and you share, you know, what value you are bringing to the table or you're adding to the organization and, you know, this is what I bring and so this is what I would like to get for that position.
Yeah, you know? I mean, I agree. And then the thing is, too, that, you know, I mean, some employees might say, okay, well, we'll review this after 3 months.
Right.
You just have to remind them after 3 months because sometimes, you know, people do say they could do this and do that.
Right, they promise you, make a lot of promises.
Yeah.
Because even if they say come back in 3 months, come back in 6 months, it may be even longer and people feel like they are being strung along, you know, with the questions that they would have asked. And I think what happens there too is when they kind of get demoted into the fact that I'm not going to ask again, you know, so.
Well, they can't give up. They got to keep asking. Just put it in writing, you know.
Right, right. So negotiate. Mm-hmm. Don't count yourself out of the process before they do. Right? That's very important. Stop undermining your experience, your skill set, your knowledge, right? And many of us turn away from asking it when we hear no or not yet. We turn away from going back for a second opportunity.
Mm-hmm. We do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We do.
All right. I shouldn't negotiate during a pandemic, right? It's a bad time. Again, is your company saying, we know it's a pandemic and everybody's carrying that emotional weight and the stress. And so why don't you work 4 days a week and take Fridays off? Are we hearing that?
We were hearing that.
Are we hearing that?
Yeah, we were hearing that. I mean, but as I said earlier, some companies were doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Some companies didn't do well at all.
Right.
But there's some companies that really did well. So those that were not doing well, it would be very difficult to negotiate.
And that's understandable.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But there are some companies that you can because they continue to do well.
Right. And what I'm saying is if you're not hearing all of that, take this time off, work for, you have one for yourself, right? You are still showing up for work. So why is it a problem for you to, you know, decide on, especially those persons who were laid off. Let's look at that, right? And you remained on the team. And so those persons who were laid off, that means you got more work on your plate, right? And so why not ask for the role that you're playing now? Because some people are doing dual role in an organization.
Yeah, that's not fair though. Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So why not, you know, put yourself in the position to say, I want to negotiate because, and you're finding a lot of persons in the workplace now saying, I did not get hired to do that. Right? Because you're given a particular title to say this is your role and your duties and responsibilities, and then you laid someone off and you know, there are additional duties added to your plate. And so I want to negotiate that.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a tough one too because I know in some contracts, It's that there's a line that says any other duties.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a tough one. If that doesn't, if that says that, then it'll be a challenge.
But wouldn't that be any other duties within the role? Within the role that you're playing or the title?
Not necessarily.
Should that not be specified?
It should be specified, but in most things I've seen, it just say
any other duties.
Any other duties.
Could mean that you could be in a different department.
Yes.
Today.
But
versus where you
that
were
doesn't
yesterday.
Exactly. But mm-hmm. that doesn't mean you should be deterred from
right.
negotiating.
Or discount your value.
Because yeah. Because you are still doing, you know, additional
mm-hmm.
work.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't tell, as an employee, I wouldn't go and tell my employer, well, I wasn't hired to do this.
Right.
I wouldn't
right.
go with that attitude.
No, and I know that. I'm sharing that that's what you get in the organization
mm-hmm.
from employees,
right.
basically, who only want to do what they're hired for.
Yeah.
Right? Especially if you're brought on to make $6.25 and you're hired as a server.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
You're getting paid minimum wage.
Right.
But you actually give me all these additional responsibilities. But in terms of negotiation, I would go and say, well, I wasn't hired. I would just say, I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. I would lay out
mm-hmm.
What I'm doing, even though the employer knows that.
Right.
I wouldn't use the word, you didn't hire me to do this.
Right.
I would just say, I'm doing this, I'm doing AB, I think I'm worth more than
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
That's mm-hmm.
the approach you would take.
I would take.
And I agree.
You know, because when you go to the employer and say, I wasn't hired, it's a turn off mm-hmm. the employer as well.
Oh, yeah.
Just
hearing it sometimes, you're wondering like, wow, this is not the person that I interviewed.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Normally.
And sometimes they're testing you.
Yeah.
Because they're looking at you as an example for promotion,
mm-hmm.
and they're giving you different responsibilities to do. And then later down, you may get promoted.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But it doesn't stop you from negotiating.
Because
no one should use anybody
right.
and abuse anybody
right.
and take advantage of people. You know, you should get paid for what you're worth.
For what you're worth.
Yeah.
And I like that you said that. If you have not yet taken out your pen and your paper, I want you to do so now, because you get what you negotiate and not what you deserve. Speak to this for persons to understand the myth of, I shouldn't ask for the salary I want so I can get my foot in the door.
Wow.
Right? Yeah.
You know, I know during the interview, people, employers and the panel, interviewing panel would ask, you know, what is the best compensation, you know, that you can,
right.
you know, survive or live by?
Mm-hmm.
And so some people, they do put lower than what they are value
right.
just to get
right.
their foot in the door.
Just to get their foot in the door.
But it's very difficult doing that, because when you do that, and then when time negotiate, you know the employer is going to say, well, this is what you say
this
you want.
This is what you say you want, yeah.
And it also questions your honesty.
Right.
You know,
right.
I think you should just be fair. I think you should be honest and tell people what you expect. Not just to get your foot in the door. I think you should just say this is what. I don't think you should put lower than what you're supposed
to. What you're supposed to make.
I know you want the job. I know you want to get your foot in the door. But sometimes when you get your foot in the door, you might be there for a long time. I think it's just best and say, let the employer knows what you expect.
Right, right, right. And you have to ask for it.
You know, that's what I think you should do.
Ask for it.
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. Are there specific numbers to have in mind for persons being prepared to know what they're not willing to take, right? Because I know a number of persons have no idea when it comes to salary negotiating, and knowing that there's a bottom number and then a top number, more so the top would be your dream job, right? But are there specific numbers that persons should be looking at to prepare themselves?
I think it depends on the position
mm-hmm.
and the role. There are some minimum.
Right.
It also depends on your budget. You should know what you live by, and you should, that should be the first thing. You shouldn't, you know, negotiate for salary. You say you make one. If you know your expenses are $1,500, you shouldn't just try to get a job of
$1,500.
You should know the position. You should know the market.
Mm-hmm.
At least mm-hmm. some. Not everybody shares salary information.
No, they don't.
I find it very hard. When I did a salary survey for a client, it was very difficult me getting client information from other companies.
Yeah, I did a salary survey for a client this year, and it was so difficult.
They don't share.
I couldn't believe it.
I was able to get information from Cayman Islands and Bermuda and BVI faster than I was able to get from Turks and Caicos. So you should know what you need to know what the market is.
Yeah, and it's important.
It's just like you're shopping for something, you're negotiating for to buy furniture. If you know what the prices are in different places, you negotiate with the price.
Yeah.
Rather than just putting something up,
putting something
out the ballpark like that.
But I when I experienced it too, I was a bit surprised of how the information is held back, and it took me a while to complete that survey.
Even though you say you do confidential stuff, you don't put their name out there, but they don't share.
Yeah,
but then some of these same guys don't want to share. They come to you later asking you for information. And, you know.
Yeah, it's so true.
Yeah.
All right.
So I don't know if there's a, you need to know what is out there.
What is out there.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. All right, let's talk about DenEdTech so persons can understand what we're talking about in this aspect. Salary is important, but what about other benefits that we're leaving on the table, right? Because compensation and salary is not one and the same, right? And I don't know if persons really understand that. And so for Turks and Caicos, I'm not sure of the percentage here when it comes to what salary makes up, but I will go off to say 60 to 70% of compensation package is salary. Right, and persons believe that salary is the only thing that you can negotiate. Share with our listeners other benefits and as an additional to salary one can aspire for.
Okay, I think the salary may be, I don't know.
Sure
I know you say
60%, 60, 70,
I think it may be higher.
You think it's higher?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I must admit, it depends on the company.
Right.
Some companies just pay the salary.
Right.
There are some companies that don't give you any benefits. But there are some companies that will could give you benefits. You could get, you know, insurance, even though we have a national health insurance plan.
Right.
There are some companies that could give you insurance. They'll pay, you know, a percentage of the insurance premium for you. There's some companies that will even offer you, when I was a KMIS, they had a pension plan. I don't know. I didn't contribute at all.
I remember that.
They contribute 100% of the pension plan.
Okay.
As a pension plan, there are some companies that give you a housing allowance, and there are some companies that also pay your national insurance and your national health fully for you.
Right.
Even though the law say you know you do 3%,
3%,
and or 3.4, some companies are willing to
pay the entire
pay that.
Okay.
There's some kind of offer you educational benefits. They will contribute towards your studies. So there are, and some companies offer you a vehicle, or they offer you a gas allowance.
Right.
So there are a number of benefits, but I think the percentage of salary is higher.
It's higher.
I think at least 80%.
80%.
So there are a lot of benefits, you know, depending on the company.
Right. Because I wanted to talk about that because benefit would enhance your market value, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so I know organizations perhaps also consider the training that they offer staff, or sending them away to conferences, perhaps, you know, as part of benefits. And so...
I mean, it's a benefit. Training is a benefit.
Training is a benefit, you know. And so I wanted persons to really understand that if you're just looking for the salary and not knowing that when you hear about compensation package, right, you wait for that offer letter to see everything that's entailed in that role or the position that you're applying for. And more so, there are times that if you're not satisfied with the salary, you can ask for additional or benefits that will help you to offset that, even if it's just your car allowance for gas, you know.
Yes, you could ask for additional benefits.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, you know, bear in mind that some companies only going to give you salary.
Right.
Some companies just going to give you salary and no benefits.
Right.
But there are some that will be willing to give you benefits.
Right.
You can still ask.
You could ask. And I wanted to share that when I talk about DenEdTech, because there are so many things happening in the role that you're playing, especially if it have a lot of office runs that you're doing, perhaps even with your own vehicle. Right. If they're not able to provide you with that, you might have offered to use your vehicle to do the errands. And so my focus is to be sure that nothing is left on the table.
In that case, yes. Especially using your personal stuff, you should negotiate for some sort of in allowance.
Right.
Yes, okay. Absolutely.
So don't forget to add the tax, right? Mm-hmm. If you are listening to this and if this information is helpful to you, take some time, go on Flow Facebook page, RTC Facebook page, and put in the chat, know your worth. That's very important. And then add tax. All right? Mr. Seymour, as we focus on negotiating our values, I really wanted to talk about this part. Where growing up, we weren't taught negotiating skills when we were growing up, right? It was find a good job, go to work, go home, you know, and back then we didn't really have an opinion, right? Because if we had an opinion, it would be more like we're back chatting adults, right? And we find now that the millennials are really, they really have an opinion because they want us to know really how they're feeling rather than, you know, not speaking and closing up whatever they're feeling or going through, even on the job, right? And so I wanted to talk about when we talk about self-limiting belief and to talk to them about how self-advocating for yourself is important, mm-hmm. right? So I wanted you to really talk on that because I find that we glorify humility, mm-hmm. right? But there's no time for us to be humble when it comes to negotiating our values, mm-hmm. right? And persons are often quiet with this. We have to talk about what's deserving to us, right? We should talk about the value in what we're adding to the organization. And so those things that we were taught back in the day of what not to do, right? Mm-hmm. How can we champion self-advocating for self now in this era that mm-hmm. we're in?
You know, I think, especially during the interview process, mm-hmm. I think you should sell yourself. You should sell yourself as much as you can. And sometimes, you know, you may not be able to sell yourself based on the questions mm-hmm. that the interviewer asks you.
Right.
Don't wait for them to ask you the question. Just sell yourself.
Yeah, sell yourself.
And yeah. And by the time you finish the interview, they'll be so impressed with you, mm-hmm. and they will see what you could, you know, what you could offer to the organization. I think it's all about you selling yourself, promoting yourself, and I think you shouldn't be afraid to do that.
Right.
I don't know why people are afraid,
yeah.
and that's why I believe it's important for people to get as much experience as possible. If you're a student in college, you know, try to get some summer jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can show them, because a lot of times when you come, if you're a college graduate, you don't have any experience, and so it's difficult to negotiate,
right?
Because the employer is going to say, I have to train you, even though you have a college degree. You just have the theory.
You have the theory, yeah.
And so if you get that experience during summers, it can help you sell yourself.
It's so important, and I like to advocate for internship as well.
Absolutely.
Because that's where persons would get some of those experience that they need when it comes to really going into that interview for that real job that you want to be in or the
yeah.
career job that you're looking for.
And I'd also yeah. say, past interview stage, while you're on the job, show people that you could do what you say you
right.
could do.
Right.
Don't just sit there, grumble, and say they're overlooking you.
Mm-hmm.
Just do mm-hmm. what you think is necessary in that organization. Just do it. And you're promoting yourself as well.
Yeah.
Just go beyond the extra mile.
Right, right.
And promote yourself on the job. Don't worry about people saying you're
right.
showing off or you're kissing up.
Yeah.
Do,
and that
which,
is often said.
You know, promote yourself.
That is often said.
You know,
you
show
know,
what
like,
you can do. You see something needs mm-hmm. to be done, you have a great idea, go into the idea or introduce it to someone and let them know what
and
you think. Or you do
you
it yourself.
Think. Yeah, yeah.
I think you should
start
promote yourself.
That's
you know,
important.
Otherwise, you can get overlooked.
Yep, and you will. You will.
You know.
Okay. If you're just joining us, you've missed the entire show. And this is Career Connection, powered by Flow, with your host, Melanie Smith, and my guest, Mr. Drexel Seymour. We're going to take a final break, and when we come back, we will continue talk through some self-limiting beliefs and help you exude confidence when it comes to salary negotiation. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsor.
How to double the internet speed for free sound.
Bring it on!
That's what every Flow Home Internet customer can celebrate.
Enjoy double the speeds at no additional cost. It's another way we're showing our appreciation of you as we keep you connected with more value. Enjoy your free 2x the Internet speed boost, delivering the best home Internet experience for all your work, study, and entertainment needs. Join Flow and elevate to the best Internet experience. Visit a Flow store or discoverflow.co for more details.
This is Career Connection, powered by Flow, with your host, Melanie Smith, and my guest, Mr. Drexel Seymour. We are talking about salary negotiation, know your worth, then edtech. I want to come back to those persons who have tried, right, and did not get in. And I wanted to talk about the fact that if they received a no, right, it was just them strengthening their muscles, so that the next time they go and ask again, that they will be successful. In cases like this, how long should a person wait before trying again?
If they receive a no for
salary negotiation, how long should they wait to try again? Or not this time, you know, come back again?
I think no more than 3 months. Mm. I think no more than 3 months. I mean, even in some cases, you could go after a month. But don't keep it too long. Right. I think the maximum is 3 months, and the minimum is 1 month.
Is 1 month.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Right? Because I know for those who are, right, because the reason why I asked you that, normally if it doesn't happen, you would find persons looking for a new job.
Yes, you would.
Right? But they didn't give themselves the opportunity to try in that same organization mm-hmm. again.
And I think so, you should ask, right? I mean, when do you think we could look at this again? Mm-hmm. You know, I think you should ask as well. So at least you know, if they take come back in 2 months, at least you know.
You know.
You okay. know.
And let's say if there's a role that the experience is asking for 5 years and you only have 4, should you still apply?
Yes, you should.
Right? Because we have a lot of persons that condemn themselves out to say that they don't have this experience because the company is asking for 5 and I only have
I think it should still apply. Yes. Even if you have 3 years, I think you should still apply.
Right.
The fact that you have experience, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think you should apply. Whether it's 3, whether it's 5, whether it's 2. Now, if you have no experience, that's a different story.
Right.
But if you have 2 years experience and they ask for 5 years, you should still apply.
Still apply, right?
You know?
Yeah, because, and that's important for persons who feel that they don't deserve the position. And that's 4 years of experience, 2 years, 3 years. And the minute they see a job description asking for a person who's been on, you know, in this role for 5, 10 years, they immediately turn away from it and say, I'm not applying because I'm not going to get it.
You may have someone with a 5-year experience, and you might be with a 2-year experience. But that 2-year experience may still have more experience than the 5-year because of depending on what they did.
Right. Because some could be on the job and some could have been only that they have the degree.
Or some could have been in that one department. Mm-hmm. You can have a 2-year experience mm-hmm. in being in different areas.
Right.
You could have a 5-year experience or just in that particular role.
Right.
But if you have a variety of different areas mm-hmm. of experience, I think that you're more marketable.
More marketable. That's very important.
You know.
And then again, right, I know that change is good, and I think I even mentioned it before with the new job. Is getting a new job the only way you can get more money?
Oh, no. I don't think so.
Right.
Getting a new job is not even going to guarantee you.
More money.
More
right.
money.
And I wanted to piggyback from that because the minute we decide that this is not going to work out for me, right, let me go and find a new job.
Yeah.
And so you give up everything that you have already worked hard for, right, with the experience that you've gained, even though you can take it with you where you go. But I want to change the concept of let me go get a new job.
Yeah. You know, it all depends on you and that organization.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel that the organization is not the right place for you, then that's a different story.
Right.
But if you feel that you want to grow with this organization, you have a lot to contribute, then I don't think you should quit.
Right.
And go and find another job.
Right.
I think you should, you know, talk to the boss,
right.
Demonstrate to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't see it in you, demonstrate to them. But to reach a point, however, where you feel not getting anywhere, then that's a different story. Right. But I don't think you should be running from job to job.
Right? And I wanted to point that out because that's what you're seeing in a lot of resumes, right? Where there's not much longevity with
that is true.
Different employers, you know, and, you know, the question of why is this happening, right, would be, are you look what it is you're looking for?
Yeah.
More money, you know, perhaps the treatment on the job was not to your liking.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for you to be able to find your place, there are times when you have to really stay on that job and build your skills.
Yeah.
You know, because even if you're in your dream job, you should still negotiate,
mm-hmm.
right? Negotiate for raises, negotiate for promotion, you know, professional development and all of that that you're looking for to add value to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just wanted to pull that out so persons can get an idea that while change is good, you don't need a new job to get a raise.
Yeah. And
or
then
to get promoted.
As, you're right. And then as an employer, we look at the resume and we see you changing jobs frequently,
mm-hmm.
they were going to say, well, they may do the same thing to me.
To me.
And
right.
so when you sometimes you have this experience and you're wondering why you're not hired, it's because they look at your job
mm-hmm.
and they, people want people to stay with them for a while.
For a while. Right.
You know, they don't want to keep hiring you and training someone.
And training them, yeah, because it's costly, right?
Yeah.
I saw an article yesterday where, you know, we have to focus on how we hire entry level as well, because you hire 10, and before the 3 months probationary up, you're terminating 8 out of that 10, you know?
Wow.
So we have to look at how we focus on the hiring aspect of
mm-hmm.
it as well. So, Mr. Seymour, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure to have you. We are Flowing with Flo on RTC 89.1 FM with my guest, Mr. Drexel Seymour, and your host, Melanie Smith. If you would like to learn more about Career Connection or have a story that you would like to share, please contact me at careerconnection.tc@gmail.com. That's careerconnection.tc@gmail.com. This has been Career Connection, powered by Flo on 89.1 FM. Special thanks to RTC and Grand Turk and Provo and Flow TCI and to my esteemed guest, Mr. Seymour. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm Melanie Smith. Join me again on Thursday morning on Radio Turks and Caicos at 9 a.m. Follow Flow RTC Facebook pages. You can also find me on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Melanie Smith or Turks and Caicos Recruitment Group. As we wrap up today's discussion, if you've been worried about asking for more with your job offers, your salary increases, or promotion, just ask. Continue to ask. You are more than deserving. It's time to communicate your value and get rid of self-doubt. Until next Thursday, make that connection.